Hello, welcome to Q&A. Welcome to Live Well Seminar. This is Perry A., and I'm happy to be your hostess today, where we talk about life and situations and how we can deal with life a little better. This is not a Clay Seminar day. And I do want to invite anyone listening in from the Austin area. I'm going to be giving a sermon in my church on April the 23rd in San Marcos, Texas. It's the First Christian Church. And I want to invite anyone in the area who's never heard me give a motivational talk. The title is Love Thy Neighbor as Thyself, or my title is People Are Just Desserts, Experience the Sweet Rewards. And it's about finding the sweetness in every person in your life and being in harmony with them and how to digest the 3-day dehydrated brownies, the people that we love to hate, and all of us have some. But our topic for today I got from a fellow speaker, Dr. Alan Zimmerman. These were from some of his notes, and I really liked it, and it's something we haven't discussed today. It's about developing listening skills. How to truly listen. And I am pretty guilty of trying to do some of the things as we walk through the steps. When you talk, you repeat what you already know. When you listen, you often learn something. That's from Dr. Zimmerman. Listening is at the heart of every positive working relationship, every successful sales, every productive team, every act of true customer service. It's even at the heart of every good marriage. So we've got to be good listeners if you hope to achieve all you can achieve off and on the job. There are 6 things that you can do and practice to become an excellent listener. The first one I'm very guilty of, and for several reasons, but nevertheless, I'm learning to bite my tongue. It's refrain from interrupting. refrain from the all too common practice of hearing a few words and then jumping in with your response. Interruptions seem to be especially tempting when someone comes to you with a problem. We often want to jump right in and give advice. As one person joked, you know, we should all swap our problems because we seem to know how to solve the other person's problem. I had to laugh at that. More often than not, however, the other person simply wants us to listen patiently, to be heard. Sometimes your interruption is not meant to be rude. It's simply afraid you'll forget what you're going to say. So you feel the need to blurt it out. Instead of doing that, jot down a word or two that will remind you of your thoughts. And that one particularly is common to me as I've gotten older and I can't hold my thoughts longer. So I get to listening and then I forget what I was going to say. So it's okay to have a little pencil or paper, particularly if you're listening over the phone, and jot down a few things, points that you heard. Stay with the speaker. Focus on what someone is saying. Don't think about what you're going to say when the other person is finished. I call it listening with your answers running, and it's not effective because oftentimes you haven't gotten all the information you need to answer correctly. And it's amazing if you trust and just listen, and all the time these little thoughts pop into your head, and by the time you get through listening, you realize they weren't applicable. It's like tennis. When you're playing, you should watch the ball. It doesn't work if you're thinking about your next play. You've got to watch the ball as it's coming towards you. Have you ever been talking to someone over the phone and you notice that sometimes you feel kind of disconnected to them? And maybe they're multitasking, they may have been cooking dinner, and so they're trying to get some spices and while they're talking to you, and your attention is split, and often you don't hear what they say, and then they ask a question, and you're sitting there wondering where the yeller went, as we call it in Texas. You've lost your thought, And they feel it. You feel it over the phone when someone's doing that, like, okay, what are you doing? You're not with me. And it's okay to say that. It's kind of a way of respecting yourself. If you're in a classroom or a business environment, one way to stay with the speaker is to take notes when appropriate. Note-taking will decrease your daydreaming and increase your retention. You will get 20% more from a meeting if you take notes. And I hadn't thought about that. Of course, if you're listening to a problem with someone, you don't necessarily take notes. But it might be good to jot some points down. Using encouraging nonverbals. Talkers want to know that you're listening, so give them a subtle nonverbal feedback. Such thing as, uh-huh, I see, oh yes, wow. Sometimes the other person may be sharing some feelings and you don't know what to say. Simply nod your head as a sign that you're following along and let yourself be touched by what they are saying. Use silence. Resist the temptation to say something just to be saying something. Often when holding the space of listening, they find their own answer. We sometimes need to hear our thoughts out loud to see the pros and cons and to make our own decision. A listening partner is a great asset in finding their way. So when someone, oftentimes we need to vent. We just, something happens and we're like a pressure cooker and we need to let it out. So we call a friend so we can just spout. And when I do it, I tell them in advance, do you have a moment? I just need to vent. I don't want to be fixed. I just need to let the steam off. And when you do it by yourself, it's just not as effective. You need to have somebody to listen. And by the time you get through, you realize either what to do or you just need to accept the fact that not everybody gives customer service or things don't go your way or that you don't have control of the world. And just accept it and be in that peace. But first you need to let off the steam. I know after my divorce, I kept talking about my ex-husband, and I had a good friend who took me one day out into the country, and she said, you need to vent, and said, I want you to pick up rocks, stomp your feet, cuss your husband, say whatever comes to mind, call him bad names, and just vent for a while. And then, every time you mention his name after that, I'm going to charge you a quarter. And I'm going to put in a little tin can. And I'm going to say, a quarter, please, and I'm going to drop it in a can so you can hear him rattling around. Because you're not aware of how much you're carrying around with you. Now, you talk about a good friend. That was a good friend. And I did need to vent, and we do need to vent. And we need good friends to vent onto. So, you know, if you're feeling that way, just say, you know, I need to spout off and let out some steam. Do you mind just listening for a few minutes? Listening for facts and feelings. Listening for things when people are talking instead of merely listening to them. Listen for their thoughts, their key points, and their emotions. You'll get a lot more out of the conversation, and this is where you can jot things down. And respond to the feelings before you respond to the facts. If your child says, I think there's a monster under my bed, deal with his feelings first. Say something like, you sound a little scared. Don't prematurely reassure the child with a firm statement, there are no monsters. If you ignore the child's feelings, he'll think you didn't hear the real message he was sending. So acknowledge their feelings. You know, wow, that must be a scary dream you had about that monster. I'm so sorry, but we're awake now and the dream is gone. And it is just temporary. Let's think of something positive. Come over here and sit in my lap and let me hold you a while. And you're acknowledging that their feelings may be different than yours, but that they are important nonetheless. Some people you could say, wow, how do you feel about losing your job? That must be kind of scary. and then ask, what do you plan to do next to help try to guide their thinking on that they could actually make a plan now? Because sometimes when we lose our job, we're just in that state of panic. We need somebody to listen to and then to kind of guide us to, oh, a plan. What am I going to do next? And we have to get off the pity pot before we can take action. And I usually tell them, if they say, I just lost my job, I say, congratulations, you've been spared. This or something better. There's always something better for you. Every obstacle in your life is a stepping stone to a higher place. But first you have to step out. Check for understanding. This is by far the most important thing you can do in the practice of good listening. In fact, without this step, if you don't check for understanding, you can never be sure that you and the other person actually communicated. You can't assume that you're getting it. You can't assume that you're getting it. You've got feedback, to feedback what you heard to see if you got it right. So, let me see. I think what I heard you say is, and then if it wasn't like that, they can correct you and you can get on the same page with where they are. So it's okay to rephrase back. In fact, if you get in the habit of checking for understanding, you'll occasionally paraphrase in your own words what the other person is saying. It will help you with the second point that I made. You'll be able to stay with the speaker instead of planning your next response. The response is not up to you. Besides that, when you check for understanding, you're saying you care. You're saying the other person is important. And whether you understand or misunderstand, you both win. Now that's important. I'm going to read that again. When you check for understanding, you're saying you care. You're saying the other person is important. And whether you understand or you misunderstand, you both win. So if you get the speaker's message right, he'll feel good and confirmed. And if you get the message wrong, he'll have an opportunity to clarify it. Those six things will turn you into an excellent listener. But just remember, your listening attitude is more important than anything you say in response to someone. Your attitude of respect and understanding is much more important than your ability to formulate a brilliant response. So do these six things and double your, and triple and quadruple your listening effectiveness. It's very important to learn to listen and to practice it. So your assignment for the coming week is to practice your listening skills. And notice when you're listening to someone, if you're interrupting or if you're really focused on what it. A friend called me the other day and I was in the middle of cooking and I had everything turned on instead of turning everything off in the middle of it. You might mess up a dish or saying something to her. I was listening with one ear open and I know she could feel the disconnect. It bothered me, so it must have bothered her because I was kind of humming and hawing when it was time for me to answer or say something because I was focused on two things at one time and it split my attention. So it wasn't fully present. Being fully present is just a great gift. Eckhart Tolle wrote several books, one of them called Now, and it's about listening to yourself. Equally important to be able to be still and listen to yourself, listen to that inner voice. And when your mind is always running and you're looking for solutions and panicking about things, that's when to be still and quieten your mind. And when you quiet it with your thinking, your inner guide can come through and give you an idea you hadn't thought about. Or you just open space for something new to come in. So be still and listen within to listen to yourself. I found the following poem, and I don't know who wrote it, but it summarizes what we've been talking about. It's called Listen. When I ask you to listen to me and you start giving me advice, you have not done what I ask. When I ask you to listen to me and you begin to tell me why I shouldn't feel that way, You're trampling on my feelings. When I ask you to listen to me and you feel you have to do something or solve my problem, you have failed me, strange as that may seem. Listen, all I asked for was that you listen, not talk or do, just hear me. Advice is cheap. A quarter will get you both Dear Abby and Billy Graham in the same newspaper. I can do that for myself. I'm not helpless. Discouraged and faltering, maybe, but not helpless. When you do something for me that I can and need to do for myself, you contribute to my fear and weakness. But when you accept as a simple fact that I do feel what I feel, no matter how irrational, then I can quit trying to convince you and get about the business of understanding what's behind the irrational fear. And when that's clear, the answers are obvious. I don't need advice. Irrational fears make sense when we understand what's behind them. Perhaps that's why prayer works so well for so many people. God just listens unless it lets us work it out for ourselves. So please listen and just hear me. And if you want to talk, wait a minute for your turn and then I'll listen to you. I love that little poem, and it's going to be in your notes. And it's just a reminder how important it is not to fix people or jump in with solutions, unless they ask you. If they ask for a solution, if you want to say, would you like a suggestion? And they can say yes or no. And then you're not trampling in uninvited. I think all of us have probably felt some key points through this exercise as I've been talking about the six key points, because we recognize where we do things, and it's so easy as women to want to fix and help. And it's sometimes hard just to listen. I did a program called The Course of Attitudinal Healing, and it was about listening to people in grief and creating a safe space so they could express all they feel. And so oftentimes the children were left out of the grieving. You know, the parent maybe have lost a spouse and is in such deep grief, they forget to acknowledge the children and say, honey, how are you feeling? And how do you feel about my grief? And just get it out in the open. There was a twin, and her sister died. And she finally admitted that she felt guilty, saying she was mad at her sister for leaving her. But what she really wanted to do was stomp her feet and fuss at her sister and say, why did you leave me? I didn't want that. We're supposed to get it, you know. She just needed to express her feelings without feeling guilty. And when you can create a space for somebody like that, they usually break down and cry and they let it out, and it just relieves them. But holding all that inside, it just builds to a volcano stage, and it can hurt your life, the rest of your life, if you're not heard and listened to. And to be able to hold that space and just listen. And so often, when you just listen, the people find their own answer. You know, and just occasionally nod or say, I think this is what I heard you say. I want to make sure I heard you right. And so ask a question, give the feedback, so they know you were listening. And it's so important to be there for someone. And it's kind of one of the most difficult things we have to do, unless you're just a natural, beautiful listener and don't need to fix people. And I think those are kind of rare. Our nature is to serve and be of service. And oftentimes we don't ask to be of service. We jump in and offer. So those are some things to think about this week. And I would really like to know if you all have any feedback on topics that you would like to hear about. So if you could go, if you're on your computer, if you could go over to your computer page and send me a question. I would love it. I'd love to hear some questions about topics that you'd like to hear about. My questions, my philosophy is sort of apparent by now, and we've discussed individual parts of life. So if there's something that I've missed, I would really love to hear from you. If you want to give me a phone call, or if you want to email me and suggest some topics, and I could use some feedback. I used to, before I did my public speaking, the meeting planner would tell me what his intention was for the talk. But I always liked to talk to the people to find out what they wanted, what would they need from the talk to help their lives. Where are they stuck? Where do their problems lie? And I could find that I could bring those topics up in my talk. But I go in the bathroom and listen to them talk. You know, you can just hang out in the bathroom and people will talk about their problems and their frustrations at work. And then you can guide it. So again, it was kind of a listening skill just to walk around the people and introduce yourself and say, what would you like to get out of today's talk? And one lady said, more time. And it just occurred to me that time is, you always have more time. If you give yourself more time, you have to plan your time. So if you give yourself more time, if you wait and give yourself the exact number of minutes you need to get from your house to work, likely something is going to happen in there in traffic-wise that's going to detain you. So if you want to be on time, leave a little bit earlier. It doesn't hurt to get there a little earlier. And when you set your appointments, give yourself ample time. And if you go over, you just give yourself time to go over, but don't cut it too short where you have to rush through your appointment and everybody doesn't really get what they want to get out of it because they feel your hurriedness and your rushingness. So give yourself more time to do everything you need to do, and at the end of the day, you have accumulated time because when you got through earlier than you expected, you have a little extra time. I carry a Kindle reader with me everywhere I go. And if I get somewhere early, I just pull it out and read. I always have a book or two or some project I'm working on that I can read or just sit and be still and listen to that inner voice to guide me for my day. So I hope these 6 points have been helpful to you. I'm going to go through them again. I can find my papers here. I got them spread out a little bit. They will be available to you to look at and go. Cheryl will post them in the archive section. Refrain from interrupting. Stay with the speaker. Focus on what they're saying. Ask questions to acknowledge that you're listening. You know, if you talk to them prior and they mention a grandson or some hobby they like doing, when the time is right, you can say, well, how is your grandson doing? Or how is your hobby doing? Have you been making any more or doing any more paintings or making more quilts or crafts for men, whatever the situation may be? Use encouraging nonverbals. Mm-hmm. I see. Oh, yes. Hmm. Wow, that's something. How did you feel? And those are just saying, I'm with you. I hear you. Keep going. Listen for facts or feelings. Listen for keywords and things that they're really upset about. And make notes about that. Check for understanding by asking for feedback. So that's your assignment for this month, is to focus on being a good listener. Just remember, any time the phone rings or you're talking with someone, to be fully present with them just for that time. The world isn't going to fall apart if you neglect some other thoughts. I had a call just before I got on the air from a lady who is sounds upset, is not feeling good, and wanted to talk to me. But it was 5 minutes to tell time to go on, and I didn't have time to call her back. And I thought, you know, I'm going to put her in God's hands for now, and I'm going to focus on my talk, and then I'll call her as soon as my talk is over. And that's what I plan to do. Again, if you're in the Austin, San Marcos, Kyle area, and you'd like to come here, my people are just desserts, a la Cajun humor. I invite you out to the First Christian Church on April the 23rd. We start at 10 o'clock over by 11. It's a lovely little place out in the woods off of Ranch Road 12, Wonder World Drive. And I would love to have you join us. Well, it's a beautiful day here in Texas. The last time I said that on the show, there were a few people that said, oh, we're looking at 3 feet of snow. So wherever you are, I hope you can find the red bird or the sign of spring to come, the robins coming out. Spring is beautiful in Texas, and if not, just come on down and see us. The bluebonnets and the wildflowers are having a field day. So this is Perrier signing out. I am going to go over and look and see if we happen to have any questions. We normally don't get questions on this group, but I like to acknowledge it. And then I also want to ask if there's anyone I have, and I do have someone that wants to be acknowledged on the phone. Hello, this is Perry.
Hi, Perry.
Hi.
Hi, Perry. Got,
yes, you're on the air.
Whoops, you probably can't hear me. Just a minute. Hi, it's Barbara Vancouver. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Uh-huh.
How are you?
I'm doing
anyway,
fine.
Good. I just wanted to thank you for your thoughts today. It was wonderful. And the topic was wonderful, the listening. I mean, because, you know, it's a big job. I mean, when you get down, though, it's such a gift to do so. But I also wanted to say, the dreadlocks are out up here. Divine.
Wait a minute, you're breaking up. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
The lilac.
Oh, lilacs. Where do you live?
Vancouver.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Good to have you on the air. So the lilacs bloom up there. Oh, the lilacs smell well, pretty as well as look pretty.
I know. I used to be in Ontario. And, they wouldn't be coming up another 2 months.
Wow. And that's pretty far north.
But so I'm going to let you go and call.
Well, I appreciate your call, and thank you for acknowledging the listening skill. It is a job, and we need to learn how to do it. So thank you for reminding me of that. And the
lady too.
All right. Thank you so much for calling
in. Have a lovely day.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye, Perry.
All right. Is there anyone else who would like to pop online and ask a question or say something? If you press star 2 on your phone, it'll open your line. And we don't have too many people on the air today, and our time is just about up. So, like Barbara said, have a lovely day. This is Perrier signing out and reminding you to be a conscious listener and see if you can't find some really unique things. Look for a listening partner. Have somebody that you can both listen for each other when you need to let off steam. Someone you know you can call and say, do you have a moment just to listen? I just want to let off steam, let the pressure cooker off. And I know it's nothing I can fix or do, but just talking about it will calm me down and help me to realize that it is what is, and it's time for me to move on. So with that in mind, until we meet again, and thank you for joining me today on Wednesday, because I do have something I wanted to do on Thursday that was important, and I couldn't get it in another time. But we'll see you next month, and have a wonderful spring wherever you are. This is Perrier signing out.